Psalm, verse 105 tonight is our starting place. And we're going to continue this run in the Psalms, making our way through the Word of God. And every time you open it, there's another level. Every time you open it, there's another part of it that you haven't seen. It's like holding a prism up to the light, and the light is refracted in a little different way, and it comes to you fresh and new. And I appreciate the depth and the sweetness and the goodness of the Word of God. Has anybody had your life changed by the Word of God? Praise God. Let's run verse 105 and verse 112. Would you say, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And verse 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform the statutes always, even unto the end." Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's clap our hands and lift up a voice and give God praise for His word. God, we thank You for Your word, Your life-changing word, the power of it, the goodness of it. We praise You. We lift You up. We're thankful, oh God, for the privilege to handle Your word tonight. Well, praise God. Glory to God. So many places that don't have access to the Word of God. So many people that have never had the light dawn on them concerning the Word of God. How blessed we are tonight to have God lay His hand upon us and give us the privilege of handling His Word. Praise God. Praise God. I've got a little tree on my deck, and that tree is hardy, and it's there because the guy at the nursery said it could survive anything. And plants at our house have to survive anything. And it is almost a death sentence for plants to come to our house. They will languish for a while, but they are in jeopardy all the while they're with us. This little plant I've noticed, though, here in the last several, it's a little conifer. And I've noticed that the little plant is leaning. Now I watch it, and now it's leaning, and it's leaning out toward the west, because here in these winter months it's on the shady side of the house for the early part of the day, and the only light that it's getting is in the evening hours and after noon and maybe 2 o'clock. And so it's leaning and it's inclining toward that radiant source that is the source of its life and its energy and its capacity to process its food and its water. It gets everything it needs from the sun. And it's got more sense than a lot of people I've known, because it leans toward. If it were some folks I know, it'd be leaning away from the sun, from the very source of life. But it is unnatural for you to lean away from the Word of God. It's unnatural for you to lean away from the power of God. David, or the psalmist here, says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God tonight is the source of light and life for us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This little tree is leaning, but the psalmist said in 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." And I'm leaning tonight, and I want to lean more. And I don't care if everybody else in the city or in my world, they're going another direction. They're seeking after other things. I want to be found wherever that light is coming from. I want to be seeking it. I look at those old gnarled hands of those hickory trees and those oak trees. They're bare now. They look like my old farmer's hands, and they're gnarled, and they're reaching up like desperation for sunlight and for warmth and the promise of springtime. And God built that that into them. But tonight, I have a will. I'm not like that little conifer. I'm not like that old rough hickory tree. I've got a will, and I can turn away from the light, and I can make my way into a dark place anytime I want to. But my heart is fixed, and I'm inclined toward the precepts of God. Is there anybody in the house that feels that way for my life, for my home, for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren? I've got to have more of him. Praise God. Praise God. It's interesting the way it works, and my approach is very simplistic, but that sunlight is filled with little packages of energy. And those little packages of energy are absorbed by every living thing on the earth, the plankton in the sea and the plants on the surface, and every fruit-bearing tree and everything that is edible and everything that is not. It's in one huge process of absorbing sunlight, absorbing sunlight. If I had a piece of coal in my hand that's been dormant under the surface of the earth for centuries, that little piece of coal is sitting there almost pulsating with the power of sun that came to it vis-a-vis these plants from ages past and now compressed under the weight of ages and time. Now that sunlight is trapped, but all it takes is a little spark and that sunlight will break forth again. Fossil fuels, the oil and the gasoline that brought you to church tonight came from the radiance of the sun on the greenery of the earth, and that energy was absorbed and it was held and it was kept, and now it's down in the mines of the earth waiting for man to come. And God prepared the system so you would have all of these things to make use of, but the sun is the heart of all of that. And although it used to be that they thought that the earth was the center of all this activity in our solar system, we understand that the sun is the center. And I'll tell you, it is no mistake, but God put the source of life right in the center, and everything revolves around that. It's like the tabernacle in the Old Testament day of Moses. The tabernacle was the very center of their encampment, and everybody revolved around that, and it was the center of their life. Can I suggest to you that the very sun that you see every morning and that you see wink out every evening, the sun has been set at the center of our solar system, and God is preaching to you in that little tree on my deck, and God is preaching to us with those old hickory trees, and God is preaching to us with the sun that shines down on us every day. And he's saying, God's got light for you, and it is life for you, and it will come to you. You've got to get your hands up. You've got to incline your heart toward God. Well, praise the Lord. The sun's at the center, and the word needs to be the center of my life for light and for life. And they are synonymous. The energy and the power in this creative universe that we live in, the energy of it all, the very sun in its place was placed there by the word of God. That solar vision that you experience is secondary to the word of God. That ball of fire with all of its brothers and sisters by the billions scattered through the universe, they all proceeded forth out of the word of God. My God, I want this word to be the center of my life. You got some problems in your life? What a God. What a word. Don't incline away from him. You need to draw close to him tonight. The source of light and the source of life. Praise God. Now, is this just poetic language? And is this just some practical lesson for life that we're dealing with? Well, no. This is woven all the way through the story of the word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, you know, the Spirit of God is moving here, and God says, let there be light. Everybody say, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, and he said, it's good. Everybody say, the light is good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him the source of the light is the word of God. Praise God, and it's good. I don't know if you know anything else, but you better know the Word of God is good. And the Word of God is the source of light. Well, the days of creation flow by. And on the fourth day of creation, God puts signs in the sky. He puts a light in the sky for the day and one to rule over the night. And wasn't that a magnificent full moon we had last night? And it shone like daylight outside. And that moon is a type of you reflecting the light of the sun. And the sun is a type of Jesus Christ. He rises with healing in his wings. Well, powerful when that moon is full orbed and reflecting the light. It just lights up the whole nighttime, and that's our job and that's our calling, to be that counterpart to his original light. But on the fourth day, he put a sun and a moon and stars, and he put them for days and seasons and years and months, and time started on the fourth day. But there was light on the first day. Tell your neighbor, there was light on the first day. And there wasn't a sun until the fourth day. The question is, what kind of light was that? What kind of light was that? What kind of light was that on the first day? And I've just got to tell you, it was real light, but it was spiritually emanating light. It was greater light than what we're dealing with these artificial things, or even the sun that you see rise up in the morning. The light of God has greater capacity for life and power than these natural lights that we have. Praise God. In the tabernacle. There is a candelabra, and that candlestick has seven candles on it, indicative of God's perfection. And it is light in the sanctuary, and the sanctuary would be dark. It's closed in, but that light provides a venue for a man to come into the presence of God and deal with the articles of the process of entering into the presence of God. And without that light, he'd be stumbling blind, couldn't find his way to the veil, couldn't find his way to the showbread, couldn't function to offer up the incense, couldn't function on his way through the process of God. The light is imperative. You can't come to God except by that light. Well, praise God. But that light is for Israel in that day real and effective and powerful. But as all the things in the tabernacle, it was illustrative of something else. It was typology. It was symbolism. It was symbolism of the revelation and the revelatory nature of the kingdom of God. Simply said, you can't find God unless God turns on the light. You can't have God. You can't work the process of God unless God turns on the light. Praise God. Now, in Zechariah chapter 4, I want us to look at that. Zechariah chapter 4, the candlestick shows up again. And in that passage, Israel is coming back to the land, and the high priest is Joshua, and the prophet is Zechariah, and the word of God comes to Zechariah, and he sees in a vision that candlestick. And instead of it being the candlestick from the temple, it's a different kind of candlestick. It's got olive trees growing on both sides. And it's got a continual living flow of fuel coming into it. Not little pans with olive oil changed out on a regular basis, but trees that are on either side that feed it a lively flow of oil. And the voice of the angel says, do you know what this is? And Zechariah says, I don't know what this is. He hears the response. This is the word of God to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel in that day will rebuild the temple. This is the word of God to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is a signal of revelation. This is a signal that you can't do this. You can't do the work of God on your own, but you need the revelatory power of God in your life. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Somebody say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. The revelatory power of God is a spiritual light. It comes to us from that holy olive oil of the heavens, the spirit of the living God. Now, I want you to look at the very end of this typology tonight. Revelation chapter 1. John is on the Isle of Patmos for the witness of the Lord. Brother Randy, Revelation 1 and verse 8. And everyone say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Does anybody in the house know that Jesus is the Almighty God? How do you know that tonight? How do you know that? How are you walking in that? Has that been a blessing in your life? Is there power in your life because you know the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. How do you know that? There are people standing by you on the job that don't have a clue. There are people living two doors down for you that don't know his name. There are folks all over this city, but they haven't been blessed with that knowledge. Why not? Because somehow, some way, you inclined yourself toward the word of God, and God said, that's all I need. And he turned on the light in your life, and now you know the name of God, and now you understand the gospel. And now you've got the Holy Ghost. Don't you know there's people in this city that don't have the Holy Ghost? And God poured out Holy Ghost for everybody. It is the only message in the whole of the Word of God. In the book of Acts, the birthing of the church. The birthing of the church is by the Holy Ghost. How can you be the church without the Holy Ghost? And you see that. To you, is that plain? Can I see your hand? I don't want to impose on you, but can you get your hand in the air? Is it plain to you that the Holy Ghost is real and that it's for us today? And how many of you have received the Holy Ghost and you heard the word and you responded to it? And how many of you talked in tongues when you received the Holy Ghost? And how many of you are still talking in tongues? You talked in tongues tonight. And how many of you know the Holy Ghost is still real in your life? Don't you know there are people that sat through church this morning and they're sitting through church tonight and it's dead and dull and dry and lifeless and plucked up by the roots and they don't have an experience in God. They don't have the Holy Ghost. How is that? They're living in darkness. They don't have revelation. They don't know it's not by might nor by power. They don't know it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I was raised up all my life in a church. And when I went back with this apostolic message and said, Brother Jimmy, you got to help me, man. These guys are killing me with the word here. He said, we don't get that anymore. That was just for back then. See, God has closed up the shop. God only had a little Holy Ghost. Poured it out, and he didn't say this, but this is the extension of what he did say. God only had a little bit, he poured it out then, and it's not for you today. They got the blessing of the Holy Ghost, but you got to struggle through without it. They got the power of God in their lives, but you don't. He pastors a church. He can't see. He's blind. There's no light. It's not by might. Nor is it by power. But my God, you ought to thank God every day. When you wake up in the morning, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God that you gave me the knowledge. Thank God that you turned on the light. Is anybody excited about the gospel in your life? Praise God. Revelation 1 and 9, I, John, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation. I was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John was talking in tongues and worshiping God. He was on a prison island, supposed to die there. But that doesn't shut down an apostolic, not in their praise, not in their worship, not in their prayer, because we don't need a lot. All we need is a little bit of inclination toward the word and the light and the power of God. And he said, I was in the spirit. I heard a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now, John is cute. John, through the Gospel of John, always likes to talk about the disciple that Jesus loved. And he said, and two disciples ran to the tomb, Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved. And he says, and the disciple, talking about the Last Supper, and the disciple that Jesus loved had his head on Jesus' chest. And John's writing about himself. He's the disciple that Jesus loves. But the disciple that Jesus loves in this passage, when he hears the voice and he turns around, he doesn't see the humble carpenter's son. He doesn't see the lowly Nazarene. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. I saw the perfect revelation of God. And in the middle of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. He looked like my Jesus. He looked like the one I walked with, but he was clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the chest with a golden girdle. And his head and hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were on fire. Verse 15, and his feet were like fine brass burning in a furnace, and his voice was like Niagara Falls. When you get to the end of this revelatory business, the very end of all revelation is Jesus Christ glorified, manifested as the Almighty God. The work finished, the work completed. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down like I was dead. That's the disciple that Jesus loved. But it was an overpowering revelation, something John had never seen before. But Jesus said and laid his hand on him, "Fear not. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." And have the keys of the darkness is encroaching. The darkness is growing thicker. It's growing all over our nation and all over our world. Paganism is rising up on every hand. What people did know about the Word of God, they're losing it and forgetting it. It is the truth of Matthew chapter 13. To him that hath, more shall be given and in abundance. And to him that hath not, even that which he has shall be taken away. If you're fooling around in a denominational format, if you're fooling around with a half of a gospel, if you're trying to settle for just a little bit of God, let me tell you what's going to happen. There are denominations that are perfect textbook cases of people that used to have an anointing on their lives, and they used to have a move of God, and they used to have a knowledge of holiness, but now all of that is set aside. They lost that they had because they didn't want to incline toward the revelatory light of God. Praise God. I want more. I don't want less. I want to go a little bit higher. I don't want to back off. I want to see a little bit more than we've ever seen before. Praise God. Recent articles about the tomb of Jesus having been found, proof that he died a normal man and went to a normal grave. And people are hungry to believe that. And the Da Vinci Code, and it somehow justifies them in their lack of an approach to God. And the darkness is growing, and the Huns are at the gates. But I'm glad tonight for the revelation of God, because I'm bulletproof. It doesn't matter what they find. It doesn't matter what the discussion is. I've already seen too much. I've already heard too much. I know that he's alive. Say, well, how do you know that? I've seen the light. My God, I can't tell you how. I can't tell you how. I can't weigh it. I can't measure it. But I saw the light. I saw the light. My God, somebody ought to write a song. Praise God. Praise God. John chapter 1. Are you okay tonight? It's all right? You're going home early. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Everybody say, the Word was God. If you're reading a Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, they'll say, and the Word was a God. But he wasn't a God. He is the Almighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. You've got to change the translation. You've got to fool with the light to get that. Praise God. Oh, by the way, I'm very gratified. This morning in the service, just talked a little bit about the terrible impact of people like Britney Spears on our culture. And lo and behold, Fox News had a little blurb this afternoon that the American Psychiatric Association, or Association of Psychology, has sent out bulletins warning people about the dangers of the sexualization of the young ladies in America. That they don't think they have any value beyond their sexual value. Because that's the gospel of Hollywood. That's the gospel of worldly music. That's the gospel of our hedonistic secular culture. Praise God. So I'm feeling pretty good because I've got the shrinks on my side. We agree that Britney's bad for us. That's a strange association. That won't last long. All I got to do is tell them I have Holy Ghost fits and talk in tongues. Then we're not buddies anymore. John chapter 1. Everyone say the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. I love the way that sounds. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Turn to your neighbor and say, in this Word of God, light and life are synonymous. Can I suggest to you that in all of natural life, light and life are synonymous? You can't have one without the other. I want you to know tonight in the Holy Ghost, God's preaching to us in the plants and in the natural creation all around us. He's telling you, you can't have life without light. And if you're going to have life, you're going to have the light, the revelatory power of God moving in your life. Well, praise God. And would you say, and the light shined in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Say the light shined in the darkness. And the darkness didn't overcome it. The darkness can't overpower the light. Not the light of God. My God, you're one little candle out there in the wind. But you've got the light of God in you. And all the hurricanes of hell can't put out your little candle. Hold up your little candle, sister. Hold up your little candle, brother. Be anointed and be bold in the Holy Ghost. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bad it gets. I want you to know He doesn't have the power to put out what God has set on fire in your soul. Tell somebody, I'm going to let my light shine. God, it's not just that it's there, and it's not just that it's God. It's that He's put it on me and you, and now we are His emissaries. Life. I'm not just carrying light to the world. I'm carrying life to the world. They're dead without it. They're blind without it. My God, tomorrow when you go on the job, they're blind without you. They're dead without you. They need somebody to bring light onto that job. They need somebody with light to come in to that school. Praise God. The darkness could not overcome it. Let me show you the problem with the world. Chapter 3 in John. We know verse 16 by heart, but make sure you quote it right. That whosoever believeth in Him should, it's a conditional, should not perish. Get everybody on your job tomorrow to quote it. They'll quote it. Shall not perish. But friend, the devil believes, and he ain't saved. Belief is a good beginning, but it's not salvation. Now, verse 18. He that believes on Him, talking about the Son of God, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. All right, here's the condemnation of the world. This is where the world stands guilty before God. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're in the bar rooms tonight. And they turn down the lights. They don't want the light. And barrooms are really gross places with all the lights up. There's puke in the cracks of the floor. And people aren't nearly as pretty as you thought they were. when you turn the lights on. I'm in love in the honky-tonk tonight. You let them turn the lights on, though, and it's like, oh, sister. You thought that cowboy was a rugged, good-looking cowboy. You thought you had Garth Brooks there on the bar stool with you. But when they turn the lights up, revelation. But here's the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. They're not inclining toward the light. But I'll tell you what happened to you and what's happening to your family and where your hope lies and where the anointing of God comes to your life. You've got it in your mind and in your heart. I'm going to incline to Him. I'm going to get all I can get. God, pour out your light and your life on me. Praise God. Praise God. Now I want to show you about that light I was talking about in Acts chapter in Genesis chapter 1, in case there's a cynic in the house. Acts chapter 9, and this is Paul on the road to Damascus going to murder the church and to put the church in jail. Chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, and if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, everybody say, there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now, if you read this in chapter 22, when Paul's giving his testimony, he said it was high noon. He said it was about noontime when this happened. And that bright Judean sun was burning down with all of its brightness. And there was a light that shines. Now something overshadowed and overpowered the light of a Judean noonday sun. And it was so bright it put Paul's eyes out. He looked right up into it. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He's a doctor of the law of Israel. And what he said was, "God, I know it's you. What's your name?" And the answer was, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." In the middle of that brightest of lights, when you get to the very vortex of the greatest of lights, you're going to find him. Whether it's John on Patmos or it's Paul on his back on the road to Damascus, when you find the center of that most powerful heavenly revelation, it'll always be Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. Clap your hands unto him. Bless his name. Praise God. And when he sees him, he said, "What's your name?" He said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." He said, "It's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it?" Or rather, it's hard to argue with this experience. Praise God. Revelation is an experience. It's not an idea. It's real. Real light invades your soul. Real light invades your heart and your mind. And revelation invades your soul. And connection with God and life comes in where there was deadness before. And you won't ever be the same. And the closer I get to it, the more of that altering and transforming takes place inside of me. I want more light. Somebody tell me, what's the source of the light? Word of God. I got to have more of the Word of God. If you're bored because I read too many scriptures in church, go find you a place that all they do is shout and scream and yell. But we're going to teach the Word of God in this house. We're going to sit down and have Bible studies. We're going to open up the book. Well, praise God. That's the source of the light. This is the reason for our shout. Praise God. Paul's next question is, what do you want me to do? You want to find the will of God in your life? Let God turn on the lights. Incline yourself toward the light. Now, how does the Word of God yield light? Or how do I, by an encounter with the Word of God, what I have here is a bound book and ink on a page. How does that transfer? It sounds like a process of academics, or it sounds like an idea. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Everyone say, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Tell your neighbor, that means the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Tell your neighbor, your flesh is just going to die and go back to dust. Now that's pretty amazing, but everything we're doing here on earth. Get all you can, enjoy it all, while you can, but it profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. Now watch what he says. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As we're handling this tonight, he likens it to a sower sowing seed. He likens it to a lady planting leaven in bread. He likens it to things hidden that come forth and bear great fruit. The word of God then is seed tonight. I'm sowing the word of God. You're inclining toward the word of God. Every time you say amen, every time you say yes, I believe that, every time you embrace that. Now you can sit there tonight and you can be hard and you can be stony and you can refuse, you can be totally impervious to the word of God. But if you'll open up your heart, it is a miraculous transfer from the word of God to your heart, and it brings the power of God's word, his promise, his light, and his life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. This word of God is spiritually given and spiritually discerned, and it is life. And so as we handle the word of God, we gain spirit and we gain life. Now, how many of you would say that the transformation you've experienced coming into the gospel has changed your life for the better? Praise God. How many of you are glad with the results? Is there anybody that has joy in your life as a result of what God has done for you? Is there anybody that it's a little bit scary to think about where you might have been if it hadn't been for the word of God? How did that happen? You testified this morning. You said, I got joy. You said, I'm excited about this. How did that happen to you? The word of God came to you. It brought, how do I have a piece of coal in my hand that has the power to generate fire in my house, heat my house, cook my food? How do I have oil and gas in my car? Because there's something charged and living in that natural piece of coal and in that natural element of oil. And it has power. Power residing in it, and it is a natural teaching tool, the didactic plan of God all around us. God is showing us how something that seems totally unrelated, sunshine, shines on that plant, and that plant absorbs energy. Tonight, the word of God is the sunshine of your life, and it's coming down into you, and you're soaking up energy, and you're soaking up power, and you're soaking up the potential of the kingdom of God. I wish I could communicate this to you. But I want more of it in my life. I want to incline toward the word of God. My God, in my house, I need the word of God going forth. In my children, I need the word of God. I'd have my kids involved in everything around this church house. I'd have them memorize. My God, I want them to be a part of everything around here that has to do with the word of God. Singing about it, quoting about it, memorizing it, handling it. I want to have a Bible study, and I want to teach a Bible study, because I want to get closer to the word of God, because there's life and power and joy and strength in the word of God as it shines into my life. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody say, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you read where in the Exodus, before the plagues started being poured out, Israel lived in a little land called Goshen. And in the night of the plague of darkness, a darkness so thick that people couldn't get up from their seat and move across their houses, it apparently was a darkness so thick that it snuffed out all artificial light, because none of the Egyptians had light in their homes. And you know they were trying to start something. You know they were trying to hold up a candle or get a lamp burning. But apparently that darkness from God was so thick, it said it was a thick darkness. It snuffed out every light. But the same word of God said there was light in the house of all of those that were a part of Israel. In Goshen, there were little twinkling lights all around there. I want you to know, this light of God business is not just a lot of words and a lot of motivational discussion tonight, but rather there is light in your home and there's darkness all down your street. Can anybody see that tonight? I've got kids that love to come to the house of God. I've got light in my life. Anybody believe that this is a dark day we're living in? A culture that's fallen into moral and spiritual darkness? You know, if I got a little light, I can make my way through any darkness. Hold up your little light you used to sing about. My God, tell your neighbor, I ain't afraid of the dark. I got a built-in light. I've got the light of God in my life. Praise God. Praise God. People stumbling and falling all over this city over things that you see as plain as day. Praise God. Praise God. Young men and young ladies getting all tangled up in sexual experiences and ruining their lives early on and complicating their futures and dashing their dreams. But you just step right over that because you've got the light of God in your life. And you say, hey, that's a pit. I'm not getting in that. That's a snare. I'm not going to step into that. The light of God is powerful in our lives, saves us and keeps us. You apostolic men on the job, out in this world, and some woman comes to you and starts giving you that come hither. And you can see, I got light, lady. I can see you coming a mile away. The Bible says that you're a deep pit, and all those that are aboard of the Lord shall fall therein. Praise God. Ain't it neat? Isn't it handy? Praise God. Praise God. We're not taking wrong turns. We can see plainly down this highway of life. And it keeps Sister Granny, Codell Allen. She lived at a nursing home because she wanted to live there. She tried living with this wonderful crowd of Corys. And they love her. And they wanted her there. But they were busy, and they were always traveling up and down the highways, and they were always leaving her, and she didn't want to stay there because she said there's boogers in them woods out there. Boogers in the woods. I'll tell you, the light of God will keep the boogers away. Praise God. Can anybody say that you used to be tormented with fear and anxiety, but when the Holy Ghost came and the Word of God came, You can walk through the darkness of a dark house or a dark building, or you can walk through the darkness of trouble in your life and you don't feel fear or anxiety anymore. That may not be true of everybody, but is there anybody who can just stand and wave your hand and say, I've been delivered. The light of God in my life has chased away all the shadows of fear and trouble. Well, praise God. Let's give God a hand praise. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Back to the psalm, and we'll wrap up for tonight. You'll be at McDonald's early. Praise God. Psalms 119. You know, I preached a little bit hard in the house this morning. We were preaching to Brody, and so you can say a lot of hard things to children and to little babies at dedications. And so I kind of preached hard about some things. But, you know, I don't have any apologies to make for preaching hard in the house of God. When you want to find the lost coin who is a soul that has grown cold and hard, first thing you do is light a light. And then you break out the broom. The little story of the lost coin in Jesus' triplet there of parables about lost things. He tells about the lost coin. He said, the woman who is the church, the woman got out her broom and she lit the light and she went at it. She went to digging around all around in the pews and all around the house, stirring up dust, brushing away the sin, digging around, being intrusive. I don't make any apologies for it at all. Well, praise God. We're gonna light a light in this house. If you're not living for God, I'm not interested in you being comfortable in the house of God. If you're not on fire in the Holy Ghost, I don't want you to sit here and go to sleep. I want to challenge you. I'm not going to beat you up from the pulpit, but I'm going to challenge you. And make no mistake about it. If I come after you, it's not out of meanness and it's not out of anger, but it's out of a heart of compassion. I want you to have everything that God has promised you. Somebody say, light the light, preacher. Get the broom, preacher. And it's not just my light. It's all of our light. When it's time to worship, we all break out the light. when it's time to sing, we all, no spectators in this house, we all break out the light. When it's time to preach, we all preach. You don't think we all preach? Let me tell you what. The church makes the preacher. You don't believe that? You sit down and fold your hands. Don't move, don't speak. There will be a deadness that descends upon this house. And I'll be like a man at the Rock of Gibraltar with a ball peen hammer. I can't get it done. I mean, I would preach till my brains ran out my ears. I would preach with all of my heart. But my God, I tell you, I've already been there. My brains ran out my ears. I've preached in some dead places. And I gave it my best. I didn't back up because they weren't coming on. I gave it everything I had. But man, we just couldn't move it. We couldn't move it. But you give me one old brother. You give me one little sister. You give me, and my God, in a place like this, anybody can preach. You see these guys trying to do the announcements? They can't do the announcements because there's preach all over that pulpit. You make that happen. You make that happen by saying, yes, amen. That's right. I believe that. I'm a part of that. I want that in my life. Praise God. Somebody clap your hands for the word of God. Somebody lift your voice for the word of God. Somebody with light in your home and joy in your heart. You give God praise. My God, we praise you. We worship you. Shine down on us. Praise God. Praise God. 106. I've sworn. This is in 119 of Psalm. I've sworn. I'll perform it. I'll keep your righteous judgments. I've decided to walk in the light of God and to have his light in my home. Now, if that's your heartbeat, I want you to stand to your feet and I just want you to say it with your mouth. I've made a decision. I'm going to have light in my house. I'm not bringing in the things of darkness. I'm not walking after the darkness of this world, but I'm opening up my heart, my home, my life. Praise God. A good architect will build and design to make use of the sunlight that's available in that location. And they'll have a span of windows that'll face to the east or to the west. The north and the south don't really matter. But my God, somebody in this house, you need to build your life. You need to build your home and your house with windows open toward the light of God. Whenever it's going on at the church, that's what we're involved in. Whenever there's something going on in the kingdom of God, that's what I want to be a part of. I'm not going to open up my windows to just every old dark thing that's out there in the world. But I want my house to be filled with light. Praise God. 107, I'm afflicted very much, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy word. I tell you, affliction is a part of walking through this life. You're going to age. You're going to grow old. You're going to get creaky. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days of decline. But I would just hate to think about walking through any of that without the word of God in my life. Is there anybody that can say, I've been in a valley, but the word of God has been my light, and I found my way out? Can anybody say, I've been in a time of trial and sickness, but God's word made the difference for me? Praise God. 108, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. This psalmist said, God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to praise you with all of my heart, and you give me more word. God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to be unreserved in my praise and my offerings to God in praise. I want you to give me more word. Praise God. Is there anybody in the house that'll say, I've made up my mind in the hard times and in the bad times, I'm going to come to the house, I'm going to praise God in my prayer corner, I'm going to praise God in my house, I'm going to fill my house up with praise, because I want the word of God to come. I want more of the word of God. Verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's my responsibility. Tell him, my soul is in my hand. Listen to me. The preacher can't make it happen for you. We could bring in the finest preachers. You could have the greatest pastor. But I'll tell you, Judas had a Jesus for a pastor. And Judas wound up crashing and burning. Your soul is in your hand. You better draw close to the light of God. Praise God. My soul is my responsibility. Nobody else. I can't depend on this church to be electric with revival. I can't depend on this church to make that. I'm glad I'm in a revival church. And I love this church. And I appreciate your response. And it just helps me. It fills me with joy to come to this place and pray. I love the anointing of God on your lives, your ministries, the teams, all that you're doing. This is a riot to me. This is wonderful to me. This is what I've dreamed about. This is what I wanted when we were in that storefront. This is what I've desired and what I've hungered after. And if you like this, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get a lot worse than this. But I've got to tell you, this church can't make the difference for me. I can sit right in the middle of a firestorm of revival and backslide. I need to do it myself. My soul is in my hand. I'm going to incline toward God. I just want to serve notice on you. If it comes on a Sunday night, there's only one blessing in the house. You ain't getting it. Because I'm going to get it. If it comes to the house of God that there's only one anointing coming down, you might as well pack up and go home because you're not going to get it. I'm going to get it. If there's only one touch in the prayer room, you might as well forget it. I'm going to have it. My soul is in my hand. I've got a family. I've got little ones on the way. My God. It's my responsibility. Praise God. I don't care. I'm glad for the youth committee. I'm glad that they create opportunities for you. I'm glad that they're with you. But you got to make it up in your mind. I've been doing this too long. Young men and young women that want to do this, they do it. They make it. I can look back over my shoulder over 30 years and I see young adults with houses filled with faith and anointing, and they were teenagers that just said, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to live for God. Don't get in my way. You'll get hoofprints all over you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to live for God. Praise God. Somebody say, my soul is in my hand. Somebody say, it's my responsibility. Come on, mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. The pastor can't do it. You got to get a hold of this yourself. Praise God. Praise God. 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. But, I mean, a snare is laid in vain in the sight of any bird. I got good light. I can see the snare. So you're always going to have the wicked with you. Quit bellyaching about the wicked. Just incline toward the light of God. Thy testimonies have I taken. Let's stand together. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I know I've asked you already, but is there anybody that's really full of joy because you're living for? Do you wake up happy? Are you enjoying this? Are you enjoying life and living for God? Can I suggest to you that if you've lost your joy, you need to incline toward the things of God? It is sad, but I see some folks as they begin to lose their excitement and their joy in the kingdom of God, they begin to withdraw. They begin to fold up. Instead of reaching for more, they fold inward. Consequently, it hastens their decline in the spirit. And the enemy will lie to you, and your natural mind will lie to you. But you've got to get an attitude about this. You've got to be proactive about this. I will not be burdened down and lose my praise. I will exalt the name of God. I will incline myself to the word of God. I'm telling you, there is nothing that will come upon you that you can't press your way through. Praise God. But you've got to do it. Your soul is in your hand. Come on down around the altar. Say, I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. Always. Even to the end. Praise God. Praise God. As you're coming, tell somebody, I'm going to be here till the dust settles. I've made up my mind. This is my heritage. This is my rejoicing. This is my joy. If you're first coming up, then you need to step up on the steps there. Praise God. Praise God. You might be with your family. You might be with somebody else. Praise God. Praise God. Would you do that right now? Would you just lift up your hands and incline your heart toward the Word of God? Praise God. Praise God. I want more of your Word. I want more of your righteousness. I want more of your holiness. God, I want more of your anointing. Mighty God, I need you. I need more of the Word of God in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands lifted and your voice raised, go ahead and begin to pray in the Spirit. Somebody let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer through you right now. That Spirit of God can pray an eloquent prayer of hunger and anointing for your life. Hallelujah. 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 Can you press into that? Can you just press into that? If you're in this altar and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost before, you've never spoken in other tongues according to the Word of God, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right here, right now, tonight. Church, be aware of who's around you. You might need to help somebody over into an experience in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, let it flow out of one vessel onto another. Let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Could we just continue to pray in the Spirit right now? Hallelujah. Lay your hand on someone or take somebody's hand. Come on. Ha, hallelujah. All together one day. All together. Praise God. Strong men talking tongues. Strong dads talking tongues. Strong young men of God speaking tongues. Hallelujah. Great ladies in the kingdom of God talking tongues. Hallelujah. They draw close to Him. They incline unto Him. The passion of their heart is more of you, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Could you turn to somebody now and could you pray an anointed prayer for them? I don't care if you pray in English. I don't care if you pray in tongues. But pray anointed.